It is 12:30 according to the clock right on top of the tape deck there, and with as many new people and as many people in general as we have put on this committee, I'm going to try to very strictly enforce starting exactly at 12:30 on time, because I know that people will want to talk, and if we start at 12:30 on time, I'll have a better chance of giving people the chance to talk as we get on to the end of the meeting. We don't have a quorum right now, but I'm going to get started anyway with Mr. Marks giving us the overview, and once we have a quorum, we'll officially convene the meeting, go over some other housekeeping matters, general matters, and then go back to Mr. Marks. And of course, we have the session at 2 o'clock today, so this will be an abbreviated meeting. With that, Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, members, my goal today was to give some background on the general fund and general fund revenues and general fund expenditures. And in your packet should be three sets of material. One's a set on regular size paper, the cover page for general fund budget. I don't believe it's stapled together. That has most of the charts and graphs that I'll be going through. There's also a set on four on legal size paper, and then there's a issue brief stapled together that reviews a bit of the November forecast information. So the first page of that regular size paper handout has kind of an outline of the issues I wanted to cover, and please feel free to ask questions at any time if you have some. The first chart, which is also up on the screen here, is just looking at the state's general fund as part of all funds. And you can see that the general fund here makes up about 60% of all the funds. We're going to take some time later in committee, I believe, to discuss some of the other funds, and we've done some of that in the past. But for today, the goal was to concentrate on the general fund. So just a note on here, this data is from the November forecast. The total state budget at $46.4 billion, and then the general fund making up about 60% of that. So then going to the next page is showing a chart of the general fund, and it's looking at general fund revenues and where general fund revenues come from. The following page in your materials has the actual numbers and a lot more detail on general fund revenues. The general fund revenues for fiscal 2006-2007 here, and just one note again, these charts are now all looking forward towards the 2 years of the next biennium, the years that we will be budgeting for this biennium, but fiscal 2006 and 2007. So these are the projections for fiscal 2006 and 2007. You can see on this pie chart the two primary sources of revenue for the general fund. Sales tax makes up about 30%, just under 30% of general fund revenues. Individual income tax about 45.5% of general fund revenues. So together, they make up about three-quarters of the general fund budget. A number of other items that show up on the pie chart that are big enough to represent slices on the pie. And then on the next page, the one that lists the general fund revenue items in detail, there's a breakdown of the other category as well on the lower two-thirds of the page that follows there, lists all the other items. Just a couple notes on this. You can see on the pie chart, statewide property tax makes up about 4.4% of general fund revenues. And this is a relatively new item related to the changes that were implemented or enacted in the 2001 legislature regarding education property taxes and removal of the general education levy and changes as far as property tax collections. So the statewide property tax on there at 4.4%. Just above that one on the pie chart, tobacco payments at 1.1%. A note on that those are the ongoing tobacco settlement payments that the state is still receiving, and they are deposited in the general fund. These payments are essentially to continue forever, as long as the formulas in law provide for them to continue coming in. So tobacco payment revenue making up about 1% of general fund revenues. As I said, there are a variety of other smaller revenue sources on that chart. and shown on that page there.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Solberg.
Do you want us to interrupt for...
Sure.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Marks, on the statewide property tax, can you tell us what kind of property is taxed by the state generally?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, it's business property and seasonal recreational or primarily cabins.
And do you have a breakdown between those two categories of...
Mr. Chair, I don't have, and Representative Solberg, I don't have that with me. I can get you that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
I know that one off the top of my head, Mr. Chair, because I had an amendment. I think it's about $38 million, isn't it? $37, $38 million it was last year. But, Mr. Chair and Mr. Marks, the medical assistance surcharge, what is that? Is that that nursing home tax, or is that something else?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, the medical assistance surcharges, I better check on that before I get back to you on that. I need a double check on just what is raising that revenue.
That seems like a considerable chunk, Mr. Chair and Mr. Marks, on surcharges. Of course, we know they're not a tax, so, because you always said, Mr. Chair, that a fee wasn't a tax, but...
We have to go through that again, Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm just looking. Other includes. So if other includes, are we got fees by mistake in this charge, or is this a tax? I'm confused. Maybe Mr. Chair, Mark's going to get back to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, this does include, this is tax revenue and other revenues that would include fees and so on. There is, in the lower grouping there, there is a category of departmental earnings. Those are largely fees. Fees that agencies charge for various purposes. And then below that, fines and surcharges would be another item.
I know all about those, Mr.
And other non-dedicated revenue, that's another item that makes up, it's a whole variety of various sorts of revenue that come into the state or state agency.
Well, Mr. Chair, could he get this? Mr. Marks, could you get that breakdown from me under medical?
Yes, I can get more detail on it.
Thank you. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Marks, when you get that, would you also see if those dollars include the federal match?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, these dollars would not include the federal match. They would show up in a federal revenue category that's in the non-general fund area.
Yeah, this is basically just money that is coming into the general fund, be it tax money, fee money, departmental earnings, whatever. All right, Mr. Marks, please proceed.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members, then the next two pages in the handout, there's another pie chart. This is showing where general fund revenues are projected to go. And then the following page shows the specific items there. And I need to make a couple notes here. The revenue at the top of the page, $30.2 billion, you notice that the difference between this and the revenues on the previous charts is the $700 million that's discussed as the projected deficit for next biennium. This data is put together by the committee structure that the House has. However, it's the old committee structure, and the particular issue here would be with our Health Committee, Health Finance Committee, and our Jobs and Economic Opportunity Committee. This particular pie chart doesn't break down or has in the Health and Human Services area a number of accounts that will be moving to the Jobs and Economic Development or Economic Opportunity Committee. So the totals are correct. If the slices of the pie would change a little bit when we're looking at our committee structure here as far as this chart is organized. You can see as far as the spending items, the big areas of the budget, elementary, secondary education at almost 40%, the Health and Human Services area at about 29%, and then some of the smaller slices, higher education at 9%, property tax aids and credits or aids to local governments at about 10%, and then a variety of other areas here. Just one note here, too, when we look at this, this chart, which is general fund spending, and when we look at a future date at all fund spending, it's important to note that In some of our finance committees, a great deal of the spending is non-general fund, and I would just use the transportation area as an example. On this chart, the transportation spending comes up to about half of the a half a percent of the general fund spending. When the all funds, when we're looking at all the other funds, it'll be in the neighborhood of 10%, because most of the spending in the transportation committee is not general fund spending. So it makes a difference depending on which set or which part of the budget we're looking at here. And the general fund area, or this is looking at the general fund area for these particular committees.
All right, I think this might be a good time to take a break and to officially convene the meeting. We have a quorum. Clerk will note the roll. Members, what I want to do today in this abbreviated meeting, in addition to going through some of the items with Mr. Marks, is talk about a few other things. I think a good place to start would be some introductions. The speaker has given us a very large committee, maybe larger than the legislative bodies in some states. So one thing we're going to have to talk about a little bit is how we make sure that we get done on time and are respectful of everyone else's time. But I guess to start out with, instead of going around the room and having everyone introduce themselves, I think most everyone here who are members knows each other, with the exception of our one first-term member. I'm going to recognize Representative Hamilton to introduce himself. Then I'm going to go ahead and have the staff introduce themselves, and we'll go through introductions that way. Then we'll talk about some other housekeeping items and go back to Mr. Marks. So, Representative Hamilton, can you just briefly introduce yourself and where you're from, a little bit of background?
And I'm Representative Rod Hamilton. I live in Mountain Lake, Minnesota. I represent Jackson County, Cottonwood County, and part of Nobles County, which is the city of Worthington. It was Elaine Harder's old district.
Thank you. And I think let's start with Kevin Matzik, our new committee administrator.
I'm Kevin Matzik. I'm the new committee administrator. I come to you from Chairman Smith's Public Safety Policy and Finance Committee.
We thank Chairman Smith again for his allowing Kevin to be with us.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say thank you back, but in as much as I'm not pleased that he's going on from our committee, I can't do that, but he has served my committee very, very well, and I know he's going to do fine here as well.
We're fortunate to have him. A lot of the other staff, I think people who were here last year know, but for those who are new members, Shirley Cotterick, our committee legislative assistant, and cook. Shirley, and Chief Cook, I think you are responsible for the cookies, are you not? Yep, they are delicious. We thank you. Jerry Dempsey, I should mention, is the vice chair of the committee. Our Margaret Cotterick is research on the majority side. We have Aaron Iverson is our committee page. Aaron, if you'd go ahead and wave. Kathy Novak is in, is it K-12 or higher ed?
Higher ed.
Higher ed. Kathy Novak, our counsel from House Research, is in higher ed right now. I guess we have a conflict, so she may not be here in at least some of our Monday meetings. And is there DFL staff?
Sean Ron.
Sean Ron. Welcome, Sean. House information, anyone else? Okay. Welcome, Nicole. A few other housekeeping matters. First, yes, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if I heard right or not. Are Shirley and Margaret have the same last name?
Shirley and Margaret do have the same last name.
And how are they related?
Well, they're married. And she supports it.
So does that mean we get twice as many cookies?
Well, I was wondering if we'd have a cook-off or something like that.
I think
that
really is going to serve, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay. All right. Aaron, I wonder if you could pass out the committee rules at this time. People will recall that underneath the current House rules. Each committee is supposed to set rules. I'm passing out an updated version of the rules that we had for the last 2 years in this committee. I guess I'd like people to take a look at them, and if they've got suggestions, additions, deletions, talk to me or Kevin about it in the next couple weeks. And we can then talk about those ideas and formally establish committee rules here in a few weeks. For now, I just wanted to pass out what we had 2 years ago so people have a chance to look at it and come up with any suggested changes they might feel are appropriate. Beyond that, there's also the issue of fiscal notes. Kevin will be handling fiscal notes, and I think people here know what fiscal notes are. I would say, you know, there's a great burden on staff in the administration and the fiscal analyst to do fiscal notes, so please don't ask for a fiscal note if you don't need one. If your bill doesn't have a fiscal effect, you don't need a fiscal note. If your bill is very simple and it appropriates $1 million for a grant to something for the bonding committee, you don't need a fiscal note because it's obvious that it's $1 million. If you are getting involved in something else in terms of a formula or licensing or any of the other large variety of fiscal items we have here, you do need a fiscal note. And we will send out an email talking about the fiscal note process. I expect it will be basically the same as we've had the last 2 years. Another item on the bill introductions today, there will be the deficiency bill. The deficiency bill is a bill that funds items for this fiscal year ending June 30th on which we're short. And people may remember that there's been some publicity in the newspaper about some items. One item in particular, public defenders, that we're short on money on. The state lost the court case on fees. There was an agreement, I believe, amongst all caucuses that we needed to put some money into public defenders right away at the start of session. And I don't think there's any controversy about that. There were some other items as well, some additional funding for sex offenders, some additional funding for corrections, a few other minor items, minor in the sense of not requiring a lot of money, but there is a judge that we need to have a hearing on. There's some additional money for the gang strike force, and there's probably some other additional items too, some moving costs. That will be on bill introductions today, and we're still looking over those numbers and making sure that we're satisfied with them. I appreciate Representative Solberg co-authoring that bill with me when we put it in, along with some others, but we're tentatively going to schedule a hearing on that bill in Ways and Means at 4:30 tomorrow. The speaker feels that this is a item that we should move on quickly so that we can make sure that the public defenders and others are funded appropriately. And so tentatively, we're looking at scheduling that hearing tomorrow. If there are some problems that arise, we can conceivably delay it, but at this point, we're planning on acting on our first bill tomorrow. And so please take a look at that bill on bill introductions, and if you have issues on it, if you have problems, let me or Kevin or Shirley know about it. Or, you know, on the DFL side, certainly talk to Lauren as well. Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear what you said. I guess I'm making an inference that that bill is being referred to Ways and Means then and not Judiciary Finance?
That bill is being referred to Ways and Means. Yes, traditionally the deficiency bill has gone directly to Ways and Means because there are four or five committees affected by it, and if we tried to run it through every single finance committee, you know, it would really delay the action that we need on this. And so traditionally the deficiency bill has gone just to Ways and Means. Representative Wagenius?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You chose 4:30 on Tuesday. Is effective as a signal that this is going to be a time that you're going to regularly choose to have a visit with you?
No, Representative Wagenius. I chose it on Tuesday because if we have it on Tuesday, there would be the possibility of still passing that bill this week if we had second reading on Wednesday and then acted on the bill on Thursday. And the bonding committee has this room from 2:30 to 4:15 on Tuesday, and frankly, I think this room is probably the only room that can accommodate a committee this size. And so that's the only reason I chose that time. Representative Silbert.
Are we going to be meeting in the House floor on Wednesday then?
Tentatively, yes.
Is that scheduled at all?
I don't.
Notifications?
Well, I don't believe it is yet, but I expect that it would be something that would be announced perhaps on the House floor today.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, sometimes in a bill such as that, though, that the different committees should probably at least take a look at the numbers, particularly I'm thinking of the public defense. Are they going to have in an informal way be able to have some kind of information on it before we bring it to the floor on Thursday if we do that?
Well, Representative Solberg, I did contact the committee chairs on Friday and told them this was coming. You know, I've asked them as of Friday to look over these numbers and try to satisfy themselves on it. Obviously, the bill's on bill introductions today, and I'm making the announcement about it today to try to solicit everyone's input. I certainly don't want to pass a bill that has problems with it, and at the same time, I want to try to act quickly on this bill because it's important. So if there are problems, I certainly encourage people to bring them up, and I think that, you know, if we would actually have third reading on the bill on Thursday, that would give enough time for any of these committees to have a hearing and take testimony this week prior to that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think there's a couple of issues that are extremely important on the deficiency, and I don't think we're necessarily opposing it, but I think on a committee basis, the sex offender treatment programs and the public defense are going to be ongoing type of problems that it's kind of tough to solve on a deficiency basis. So I would hope that you know, you'd allow at least some kind of informal testimony. I don't mind going directly to Ways and Means with this one, but sometimes in the past when we've done that, we've scheduled some other hearings so that people who probably are not familiar with all the details of it are brought up to snuff on it.
Sure, and Representative Silver,
I have
no objection to any committee that's affected by the bill having informal hearings on it this week if they want to take. I think that all the finance committees will have meetings scheduled before the Thursday session where they could take some testimony on this if they chose to do so.
Mr. Chairman, I would just encourage them to do that so that we have more than just us making a decision or more than just the chair making the decision. We inform the new members particularly.
Sure. Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, on the on your rules, you know, on rule number four, I mean, you've never had a problem before with us offering up amendments right here, drafted by hand, and you're just saying to us that you'd rather it be done ahead of time as much as possible, but you're certainly not insinuating here that we can't do a verbal or handwritten amendment.
Representative Rukavina, no. These are actually the exact same rules that we had the last 2 years on it. I just do want to reserve the right to say no if I get something that I think is unreasonable. As an example, I remember back when I was chairing Capital Investment, someone, I won't tell you which member and which interest group, showed up with a 5-page long detailed amendment on design build at 12:30 when the committee was starting and we were supposed to mark up the bill. And it's just a very complex subject, and I felt that that's something that, you know, members, including myself, really couldn't absorb what that amendment was about in just the very little amount of time that we would have to talk about it. But generally speaking, no, I would like to have as much notice as I can, but I expect things to be the way it's been.
And, Mr. Chair, the same then on the germaneness. I mean, we don't have really a germaneness issue in committee. We never have, and you've never been a stickler for it, so I assume you're going to give us wide latitude.
Well, I think that we will try to probably just do things again the way we've been kind of doing it in the past. But again, I'm not passing these out today to say these are the committee rules. Let me make that clear. I'm passing them out as the copy of basically what was done last year with updates to staff and a few minor items, asking that if members have suggestions, changes they think ought to be made, they contact me in the next couple weeks so that we can potentially incorporate those changes.
And, Mr. Chair?
Representative Rukavina.
Unless others have a question on the rules, can I ask Mr. Mark another question on the budget?
I see another question. We'll go back to that in a second. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question was on the rules and the issue of germaneness. I just never seen that as a committee rule. I don't think it's allowed by the House rules that the chairman of the committee can decide that something is not germane. Any amendment by any member is always germane in the committee, as far as I know, unless we've had a change in House rules. So my suggestion would be to you that that's struck from the rule here when it's, you know, whenever you make any changes. I do understand your point about when things are way, you know, very long amendments and timeliness and all that. I support that, but I don't think this would be a major departure to say an amendment is not germane in a committee. It's allowed on the House floor, but not in a committee.
Well, Representative Clark, I said I have to look through the rules, and my impression was that this was something that we could address if we chose to in committee. But as Representative Rukavina has said, we haven't had a policy in the past of ruling on germaneness. In committee rules. Okay. Representative Abler, but I appreciate that suggestion, Representative Clark, and I will check the rules on it, and again, please bring forward suggested changes you have, and I will think about that. Representative Abler.
Thank you, and thanks to be on board with the committee here.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. I think I'm
We hope
here.
You feel that way at the end of session.
You're here, but you're not necessarily on board.
actually, the germaneness question just spurs a question I have. Let's say you're having a very disagreeable day, and none of us agree with you on a germaneness ruling, which could never happen, I'm sure, but if it would happen, these rules are all based upon the normal conduct of a committee, but isn't it true that any time a majority of the committee can change the way it functions if it so deems for that particular moment or thereafter?
Well, I mean, subject to House rules and any number of things.
I mean, let's say if we all liked an amendment and you just didn't happen to like it, and could we as a committee overrule your... Is there kind of an appeal to the committee if the chair is overruled?
Well, I guess to tell you the truth, I don't know that I was really prepared to talk about all the ins and outs of these rules today. I think that my recollection under House rules is that you could appeal a ruling that I had on some ruling that I made. Yeah,
I'm just curious. These are kind of the, it's in your interest to kind of be where the committee is too. So if you get too far off in your rulings, then people might let you know about that. So.
Well, you weren't on the committee before, Representative Abler, but I really hope to not be involved in doing too many rulings.
Thank you.
Representative Dreiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been on your committee before, not this committee, and I know you do run a fair committee, but I would also advocate to strike that germaneness rule because if you don't really use it other than, you know, one lengthy amendment from Representative Krinke, you know, maybe the whole committee would say that that's such a long amendment, we don't want to do it. I would like to think that the common sense would reside in the committee and not just the chair. But I'm concerned to have it on there because once we've had it on there, and you just said it yourself, well, we've had these rules for the last 2 years, excuse me, and then all of a sudden it becomes the custom and usage, I don't want to be party to that because I think we're all elected here, and if we have collectively a different view than the chair, I don't think it's a good thing to put that kind of totalitarian rule in there. And since you don't run your committee that way anyway, I would advocate to strike it.
Well, two things. First of all, the lengthy design build amendment you referenced was actually not from Representative Krinke, so I don't want to have people assume that it was. But secondly, I think the reason that is in here is I've been handed a copy of the House rules, and if a person would, people probably don't have it here, but let me read it. Underneath House Rule 6.21, Committee Procedures, Paragraph 4, it says, an amendment offered in committee must be on a subject that is within the jurisdiction of the committee. Whether an amendment is on a subject that is within the jurisdiction of the committee is a question to be decided by the person chairing the meeting who may put the question to the committee. So House rules actually does delegate that power to the committee chair, and I guess that's one reason that we have the rules written the way that they are.
Well,
Representative Dreiling.
Mr. Chair, then I would be much more comfortable if you would cite that rule and say the chair will follow that, because this one seems to be more broad.
Okay.
It doesn't seem to be just you're ruling it not germane because it's not the purview of the committee, but rather you've decided it's not just maybe, you know, for some other criteria.
Okay. Well, let me think about that too, Representative Dreiling. I'm just soliciting opinions. Wasn't actually expecting to get into people giving a lot of opinions right now, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm willing to proceed and talk about the rule issue some more here But people, you know, certainly feel free to look these over and send me an email or whatever on it. Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is my question, Mr. Marks, but I just wanted to say before I asked him the question that Representative Abler, anytime you want to lead the charge on questioning the chair, we're 100% behind you over here. So, but, Mr. Marks, the corporate income...
Oh, just a second. Representative Rukavina, if we're going to get back with Mr. Marks, I've got a few other housekeeping things I want to finish, and then I'll recognize you. Was there anything else on the rules that people wanted to bring up? Okay. Let me then finally bring up something in terms of... something that may relate to the rules, and I guess I would just throw this open for discussion. We have a lot of people on this committee. I'm glad each and every one of you is on the committee, having said that it wasn't really my idea to have a committee this big. And one reason I really want to make sure we start on time at 12:30 or whenever our time is every day is so that we don't waste 10-15 minutes up front, which means 10-15 minutes less potentially if people having a chance to contribute discussion at the end of the meeting. I guess, but beyond that, we've got, I think, 37 members, maybe 38, I think 38 now, I guess I'm wondering what people think about me pushing a little bit harder to have shorter discussions or perhaps setting fixed times to vote on items. I haven't done that in the past. I've tried to pretty much let everyone talk as long as they wanted to, but the committee's 50% bigger than it was, too. And I guess I want to be sensitive to the rights of 37 people who may not at some point want to listen to one person go on for a long time. What people have any thoughts they want to bring up on that issue? Representative Kelleher?
Mr. Chair, although I'm sure there'll be a day I regret saying this, I think that one of our obligations is to listen to each other, even when we're driving each other crazy. And so I think we need to be more cognizant that there are all of us here and that we need to be to the point. And I think one of the things that can help that is attendance at meetings. Being in the room instead of out of the room, because that's often a point that this committee gets hung up on. When people are going in and out, they're not paying attention, they ask the same question or they try to go over the same thing. I'm wholeheartedly in support of you saying, well, that's maybe been covered already, maybe you could talk to someone else about it. But I do think there's an obligation here to listen to each other, and often there are varying perspectives around the state and around the table about these issues. And so, although I am sure there'll be a day when I'm sitting here drumming my fingers, wishing I had not stuck up for every single person around this table, I think it's important that you don't set a specific time limit or a specific time to vote. I think you can give guidelines, and I think you can give a little roadmap of where we're going and what your expectations are. But I think more than that, we will damage our own process.
We have you on tape, Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
I would concur with that as well. I mean, you've got a big committee, not because any of us said we wanted it, but everyone here has the same election certificate with one exception. The only thing that you've got is the ability to adjourn the meeting without having a vote. And we would hope that you would use that judiciously. You have in the past. And again, we all talk too much sometimes, but the process here is to talk and to listen to each other and have a healthy debate. If we lose that at any particular time, whether it be here or on the House floor, I think we're in trouble.
Well, it's not my desire to change the way I think I've been in the past in terms of letting people talk about as long as they want with some occasional encouragement to get finished. But again, we have a very large committee, and so I guess if people have any other thoughts on the subject, feel free to talk to me about it as we try to formulate the rules. I guess I don't have any desire to cut people off or even set a time for when we're going to do something. At the same time, I want to respect the rights of what may be the majority of the committee in saying we've heard enough, we're ready to vote. So, Representative Abler.
Mr. Chair, I've kind of made it a joke lately, but I think it's a constructive suggestion at this point. Having been here a few times as a guest at your table, I was surprised how we deviated from the money of the bill and got discussing the policy of the bill, which I find to be a fascinating discussion. Most times I like the policy of my bills. But maybe if we try to work on the money here, mostly, especially given the scope of the money problems we have and not so much the final policy committee, I think that members kind of have thought this is where they can fix up their bills at the last, on either side of the aisle. And there may be an outlandish thought, but I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if you want to do the good work you're trying to do. Not that things would be germane or not, but if members themselves don't try to bring too many policy amendments to bills or even divert too far into the policy of a particular bill as opposed to just the fiscal impact of it, that might help accomplish what you're trying to do without eliminating the debate on the money part, which is what we're supposed to talk about.
The money part is the committee. Same time, there are frequently people from both sides, including even yourself, I think, Representative Abler, who have brought forth amendments on policy in the committee. But I certainly appreciate what you're saying and want to try to, again, honor everyone's ability to speak while at the same time trying to be respectful of everyone else. Any other discussion? All right. Any other items before we go back to Mr. Marks? Representative Rukavina, then you've got a question for Mr. Marks.
Yes, I do. Mr. Marks, in your general fund base budget for 06 and 07, we see an increase in property tax aids and credits of about, $17 million over the 2 years of the biennium. Yet we cut LGA by $250 million. And that's decreasing as, you know, those cities reach those limits of reduction, you know, whether they're under 2,500 or over. So where is all the growth coming from when the, you know, we're phasing in the LGA cuts? Is it growth in because the market value is kicking back on? Or is it transit levy? Or what would it be?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, I'm looking at the detail here, and without examining it closely, it appears that a great deal of the growth is in the property tax refund area.
In the circuit breaker itself?
Yes.
Mr. Marks.
Representative Rukavina, the property tax refunds are at $324 million in 2006, $345 million in 2007. there are some other categories where there were changes as well, it appears that that's largely the area where the difference is between the 2 years.
Chair, am I wrong in assuming that 07 is when the market value does come on in 06?
Mr. Marks.
Chair, I don't recall the exact date on that.
Perhaps the engineer of that who's over in his chair over there could tell me. Mr. Representative Abrams.
Representative Abrams, do you wish to speak?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, this would be current law dealing with the market value credit, which would mean for fiscal year 06 there would be market value credit throughout the state, if that's what your question is. Secondly, if there are any changes in market value credit, it would be due to two factors. One would be new construction, because you get a market value credit and then you have the phase out, and second would be phase out, because as values increase, the market value credit goes down. I haven't seen the detail, Representative Rukavina, on that dynamic, but I would suspect that everything about equals out in the market value credit area.
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, the market value credit itself, the market value homestead credit payment actually decreases from $304 million in 2006 to $295 million in 2007.
All right. If there are no further questions on that topic, Mr. Marks, would you like to proceed with your presentation?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps before going further, I want the legal size sheets in your folder do provide a lot more detail on revenues and expenditures over time, and I'll just spend a couple minutes on those. There are four pieces of paper, four sheets that are on the legal size paper. Two of them show revenues, two show expenditures. In each case, they're categorized two ways. One is are annual numbers, and one is biennial numbers. So if they're, I believe that in the order that they're in, the first two pages show revenues, and they're showing revenues from fiscal year 1988 through the projections for fiscal year 2007, and they're shown by revenue category here. Now, obviously, some of the categories have changed a little bit over the years, or in some cases, it was a category that didn't exist in 1988 and does today, so that we're attempting to group them here in a logical way. Again, it's similar to the sheet that you just looked at, in that the bigger items are near the top, and then there's an other revenues category that's listed near the bottom. But there's a total on near the bottom of the page, total current year revenues, and then it also shows the dollar change from year to year and the percent change from year to year. And you can see what's happening with those various revenues with the total general fund revenues from year to year. One note here is, again, these are current year revenues, so they would not include money carried forward from one year to another, a balance carried forward. It's showing that the revenues in a particular year. And the second page shows those same numbers on a biennial basis. It's adding together the two fiscal years for the biennium, and showing the revenues, the same categories of revenue. I think one of the things that can be interesting on these kinds of comparisons is when you look at percent changes, whether you're looking at percent changes from year to year or biennium to biennium, the percentages change a bit. Just the point here is this is the type of comparison that people make various times, or make when they're talking about how revenues may be growing either from year to year or biennium to biennium, and there are different percentages for the same numbers, depending on if you're adding 2 years together and comparing them to another 2 years, or adding a single year or taking a single year and comparing it to a single year. So you might find the percentage changes of interest on here, how they differ whether you're looking at annual numbers or biennial numbers. While I'm on those legal pages, the second two pages there are looking at expenditures, and it doesn't go back quite as far. It goes back to fiscal year 1992, and again, we have a situation where some of the committee names have changed, or the issue areas have changed over the years that are shown on here. But again, these two pages are, the first one's annual, the second one is biennial. In the middle of on the page that shows general fund expenditures on an annual basis, on line 31 there, and the lines are labeled, there's a total for the total expenditures and transfers per year. And again, lines 32 and 33 are showing the dollar change and the percentage change from year to year. And you can see what happens with those percentages and those total numbers. The lower part of the page there, starting on lines 36 and down, also show when money's going into various reserve accounts. And this is an item that I've added on here separately because it's not really spending, but it is a use of revenue, putting money in a reserve, a budget reserve or a cash flow account. It's not spending the money. It's available for later spending, but it is revenue that needs to be raised, and it is money. It is revenue that's dedicated for a purpose to the extent it's put into that reserve. So there are actually two calculations of totals and changes from year to year on here. One of expenditures and transfers, and then one that also includes money going into reserve accounts. The last page in that legal size group, shows the same numbers on a biennial basis. And again, the percentage information can be kind of interesting whether you're comparing for annual or biennial information. So there's a lot of information in here, and I'm not going to go into any of it specifically unless you have questions, but it does show a historical perspective here.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marks, on line 37 on the annual basis of expenditures,
yes.
The cash flow account, is that, I understand the cash flow account, it's just a balance we hold to cover checks in short times or so on and so forth. But is these numbers, are these new dollars going in every year? Is this just a balance we're carrying in there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, it's essentially a balance being carried in there, but to the extent that it's a decision that can be made every year, it's looked at, it's a total here that shows up in each year. This is part of the total. So I think you could argue that you shouldn't count it every year. You should maybe only count it in the year it goes in. On the other hand, it's essentially available each year, and it's part of the revenues available. What's not shown on the top of this page is revenues available in each biennium, which would also include money carried forward from one year to another. So it can be confusing to include it. And you could argue it should only be shown once, that the decision's made once.
I understand.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Franke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Marks, you can blame the chair of the committee if you so choose. How come you're showing us this is state general fund? How come you're not showing us the entire budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Franke, I believe we're going to get to the whole budget in a future meeting. We were kind of concentrating just on general fund today.
This is just a warm-up. Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Abler.
Just a simple question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marks, online, either one, online, the biennial one, line 9, the shift reductions for K-12. If I added those together, would that give me the K-12 spending altogether? The shift is reflected in the year that it's charged to?
Mr. Marks. Representative Abler, yes. The shift is it's an attempt to have a separate line on here with shift calculations. But if you added the two lines together, it would show you the total amount of state resources that are actually being appropriated for K-12 education in that year.
Okay,
it could be the total amount plus money if the shift is decreasing, or minus money if we're increasing the shift and essentially holding money out.
Okay, Mr. Marks, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, then back to the other handout, the one on regular size paper. The next chart in here, and again, there's a chart on one page, and then the following page has the actual numbers. But this is just showing change from one biennium to the next. This is a biennial comparison, so it's adding together 2 years and comparing it to 2 years, and it's showing the dollar changes in state general fund resources, or I'm sorry, general fund expenditures. For what's projected in fiscal years 2006 and 2007 compared to 2004 and 2005.
Mr. Marks, Mr. Chairman, would you identify which chart you're looking at?
Mr. Chair, the one on the screen is the chart.
I can't see the screen.
And it's a sideways bar graph.
All right. That's a good way of describing it. Thank you.
And then this is showing for the budget that we're going to be looking at this session, what the changes are from the 2004-2005 year. And you can see the most significant area on there, the Health and Human Services area, with an increase of the $1.4 billion over the previous biennium spending. This is the projected forecasted expenditures. And again, I need to make that note that Health and Human Services in this case includes expenditures that are under the changing of the House structure are going to be in the Jobs and Economic Opportunity Committee, as well as they're going to be in the Health Policy Committee. So this is a little misleading compared to our committee structure, but this is how we had it grouped. It would have been the last time around.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Solberg,
Mr. Marks, would you provide? I think you have provided that, but the final version of which ones shift from which committee to another committee would be important. Which accounts get shifted?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we can provide that. The one other note on this chart, you see a substantial decrease in the amount of going into reserves, and this is looking at it as in 2004 and 2005, budget reserves were increased by $882 million. That would have been the building up of the budget reserve in the 2003 session, as well as the additional money that was put in at the time of the, this past November's forecast. So it's holding budget reserves constant in the 06 and 07, which is the current law situation. So at any rate, you can see that there are not substantial changes in many of the committee areas here, with a couple exceptions where there are substantial changes from showing from biennium to biennium. And as I mentioned, the 2006-2007 numbers would be the base numbers that were available from the November forecast. It will be the basis that we start working from in 2006-2007, or for the 2006-2007 biennium in this session.
Mr. Marks, tell me again, how was the $882 million calculated for the reserves?
It's comparing new money that went into budget reserves in 2004 and 2005 compared to what's projected to go in 2006 and 2007.
Okay.
So it would include the building up of putting approximately $620 million into the budget reserve in the 2003 session, adding another $27 million to the budget reserve in the November forecast, and adding $350 million to the cash flow account after the November forecast.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, where does the money for economic development come from?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, the comparison here would be the it's basically appropriations for the Department of Employment and Economic Development, Labor and Industry,
Commerce,
Department of Commerce, the departments that are in Representative Gunther's committee, excluding the Department of Human Services money.
So as I understand, Mr. Marks, this is basically current law. I mean, if we all passed appropriations exactly like they were in the November forecast and went home, the Economic Development Committee, or at least that portion of it as we allocated it in 2004-2005, would spend $15 million less in 06-07 than 04-05. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Marks, how much of that is driven by formula as opposed to appropriations? How much of it is forecasted as opposed to actual appropriations to current law?
Mr. Chairman, Solberg, in that committee, very little of it would be forecasted. I suspect what has happened here is that there were cases of a couple one-time appropriations or items that were appropriated on a one-time basis and not built into the base. And I could take a couple minutes and look up the detail of it, or I could get back to you later on it. Seeing it quickly here.
That's okay. That might be interested for some people that have that, but if it is the difference between one-time appropriations and formula-driven is what's most important on that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, just quickly here, it looks like there's about a 6,000 decrease in the Department of Employment and Economic Development's Business and Community Development area. I don't know details of that. It looks like there's also about a 5,000 decrease in the same department, the Department of Employment and Economic Development's Workforce Partnerships area. And again, I'm not sure just what the items are within that.
Okay.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just along that line, you know, I sit on Representative Gunther's committee, and he was a wizard at figuring out how to keep some good programs going. I think it would be interesting, Mr. Marks, when you're giving us this data, if you could indicate which accounts went from being base funding to being one-year funding, so we can see exactly, you know, what those changes are. Otherwise, we don't really have much of a historical perspective, because there were a number of accounts that lost their base funding, were only funded for 1 year because we were in a crisis mode mentality, I should say, and I guess that would be helpful just to keep that on the books so we know.
Mr. Mark?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, Representative Solberg, just one other note here. Another area here where there's a decrease is the tourism area, and I believe that is one now that is a separate operation. Perhaps Representative Gunther could provide more detail, but I suspect this may be one that's going off the general fund and showing up in some other funds, perhaps.
Representative Gunther.
Chairman, Mr. Marks, I think tourism is still funded by the general fund, but it also is going to be more self-sustaining in that they'll be able to leverage more of their own money by having the people that are benefiting pay for part of it, a bigger part of it, and they'll be able to raise more money themselves. That was a major purpose of making that separate department away from DEED, or formerly DTED.
And Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair and Representative Gunther, as I look at it here, yes, that's correct. It's a decrease indeed. It's an increase in the separate account that's for its Fort Minnesota Tourism. So it's not a decrease in overall funding there. Sorry about that one.
I have been informed that I guess there's a DFL caucus at 1:30, so I want to be respectful of the minority. Are there other questions for Mr. Marks on this chart? Mr. Marks, how close are you to finishing off?
I am almost done.
Okay, do you have like one more,
Mr. Chair, one more chart, and this one I'll put up here, and you should have it should be your last chart in that small packet. But this is just showing base budget on the general fund for this session. This is reorganized according to our committee structure, so you can see the changes here. The Jobs and Economic Opportunity Committee budget is bigger than it was in the previous one. And I only stuck this in here essentially to show that this is the kind of information that we'll be working off of this session as far as putting overall budgets together and so on. Now, obviously, this is the November forecast information. This will get updated for a February forecast yet, but these are the overall comparisons here on spending that we'll be using with the notation that it'll get revised for the February forecast. So, Mr. Chair, with that, that's all I have for today.
Representative Huntley, I guess, has a question. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Marks, where does the transfer of money from the health care access fund into the general fund show up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, it's a revenue item for the general fund, so it would not be on the spending chart. It's in the revenue area. On the revenue chart, it's under the transfers in. It's one of several items in the transfers in area on the revenue charts, and I can get you the detail of it if you'd like.
All right. With that, seeing no further questions, we will meet tomorrow at 4:30. Meeting is adjourned.